Welcome to the Bidwell Presbyterian Church Podcast. The church is located next to California State University, Chico. For updates on services, congregational care, and community outreach, please visit our website at bidwellpres.org. The following sermon, Fear Not, part of the series Overcomer, was given by Pastor Henry Hansen on Sunday, January 7th, 2024. The closing prayer is given by Pastor Greg Cuzzona. May you experience God's grace and joy on the journey.
Before I jump into this morning's message, why don't we just pause for a brief word of prayer? Good and gracious God, we are thankful for sacred spaces like this. We're grateful, O God, to be here with you, and we're grateful for the encouragement that we receive when we come together in numbers. And so, God, thank you for this morning, and I pray for each person here. We haven't come to hear a human voice or a human opinion, but rather to hear from you, to be encountered by you, the living God. And so we come here with grateful anticipation, knowing, God, that you understand our lives even than we understand them or ourselves. And so would you speak to our hearts this morning? In Christ's name, amen. Well, today we are beginning a new series of messages titled Overcomer, and we're looking at different ills or maladies or states of being that we can find ourselves in as we start this new year. And this morning we are looking at the topic of overcoming fear, and I'll be using fear synonymously with the word anxiety because we know anxiety is a primary symptom of our fear. So it's good for us to look at them hand in hand, as one can influence the other. And in so doing, what I want to do right now is to leave you in the care of Dr. Lucy here on our screen from A Charlie Brown Christmas.
I think you have a customer.
I'm in sad shape.
Wait a minute. Before you begin, I must ask that you pay in advance. 5 cents, please.
Boy, what a sound! How I love to hear that old money clink. That beautiful sound of cold, hard cash. That beautiful, beautiful sound. Nickels, nickels, nickels. That beautiful sound of clinking nickels. All right, now. What seems to be your trouble?
I feel depressed. I know I should be happy, but I'm not.
Well, as they say on TV, the mere fact that you realize you need help indicates that you are not too far gone. I think we better pinpoint your fears. If we can find out what you're afraid of, we can label it. Are you afraid of responsibility? If you are, then you have hypangeophobia.
I don't think that's quite it.
How about cats? If you're afraid of cats, you have aphasia.
Well, sort of. But I'm not sure.
Are you afraid of staircases? If you are, then you have climacophobia. Maybe you have thalassophobia. This is fear of the ocean. Or gerophobia, which is the fear of crossing bridges. Or maybe you have pantophobia. Do you think you have pantophobia?
What's pantophobia?
The fear of everything.
That's it!
Well, friends, it's my sincere hope that you have not come here today in a fear of everything, but no doubt you have brought some anxieties or concerns that are on your hearts today, and many have said that we are living in a state of fear or anxiety in our society today. There may be things like the division in our country, or maybe there are things like climate change for those of us who have concerns about changing temperatures. Maybe it's things like the war in Ukraine or in Gaza. Maybe other things going on culturally that make you anxious. And of course, anxiety in our own hearts as well that we bring from our personal lives. Mark Sayers, one of my professors at Fuller Seminary, says this. He says, if there is one word that captures the emotional mood of our day, it is anxiety. This atmosphere is thickened by the news, which presents us with a constant stream of worrying trends, unprecedented events, and cascading crises. We absorb a torrent of information through digital devices, nodes connected to the internet, and a kind of global electronic nervous system. This feedback loop thrives on anger, conflict, and outrage, and this links out into the real world. How then do we fulfill our biblical mandate to be salt and light, ambassadors of the kingdom, bearers of good news? And I just love that question. What does it look for us to be salt and light in a truly anxious age? And I think in order for us to do that, we first have to start with the question of what brings fear to our lives today? And I've named some obvious things that are going on culturally, but you may have brought some things on your own. Maybe you have some financial fears. Maybe right now you're concerned about your vocation. For many of us, we have concerns about our kids. Maybe nothing specific, but we want to leave this world in a better place than it was before, for our children or for future generations. Maybe for you, there's some kind of a health scare that you have in your life. Your bodily health is something that you keep at the forefront of your consciousness for one reason or another. Well, there is someone in Scripture who can instruct us on how to quell fear or anxiety in our lives par excellence, and that is the Apostle Paul. Paul understood fear or things that could possibly motivate fear in his life, and he wrote this letter to the Philippian church. And he wrote this from Roman prison. Paul had been persecuted for being a Christian. This landed him in the worst circumstances imaginable, Roman prison and a dungeon-like environment. And yet this letter from Philippians that he wrote is themed with joy. That's the overall tone in the letter. And he wrote this in his very last words to the church in Philippi. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So that's the tone of the letter. Those are Paul's closing words, which is remarkable from a man who has been imprisoned because of his Christian faith, renounced his Roman citizenship to be a follower of Christ. And he's writing to people. This is not a Jewish audience. This is primarily Roman Italians who were in the Philippian church. And they were learning for the first time that there would be persecution because of being a Christian. They would reject their Roman identity and all of its privileges to follow Christ. They would renounce the gods of that time, and they would discover that there would be persecution in their cup, that there would be suffering. And this could lead to living in a fearful or anxiety state, or anxious state. And Paul is saying, no, to the contrary, being anxious or fearful, rejoice. Now, I know that for a lot of us, we can't really relate to feeling persecuted. In North America, it's uncommon. No doubt if you've been walking with Christ long enough, you do know that there are trials, there are ways which we are resisted culturally in society. And some of us here, maybe in your own way, have had a lot of family tension or friends tension. You have felt persecuted for your faith. But it's not quite the experience here where people were literally threatened by death, right? But nonetheless, this letter has a lot to say about how to quell fear in our lives. There is a book written a few years ago by Max Lucado, who is an author that I don't read a lot of, but there's a few books, and one of his books is called Anxious for Nothing. If you struggle with anxiety and fear, I actually do recommend this book. There's some meat to it, but it's also very practical. And it's all about these verses that I read to you from Philippians chapter 4, just those five verses. And what Lucado does in that book is he says there's really one word that summarizes Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. And it's this acronym, CALM, C-A-L-M. So for C, celebrate God's goodness. The apostle says, rejoice in the Lord always. A, ask for God's help.
Let your requests be known to God. L, leave your concerns with him with thanksgiving. Present your request to God. M, meditate on good things. Think about things that are good and worthy and praise. And I want to just summarize these and expound on them a little bit more. So first is to celebrate God's goodness. I want to encourage you, if you are experiencing anxiety and fear in your life this week, to stop and offer a word of praise to God. It could be something as simple as thinking about one quality of God that you find praiseworthy, that can help you experience liberty and freedom in the midst of your circumstances. Maybe it's God's omnipresence, God's everywhere, and that brings you comfort. Maybe it's God being omniscient, he's all-knowing, or omnipotent, he's all-powerful. Maybe it's God's holiness or justice or goodness. But I've been amazed in my own life, the transforming effect of that, of stopping, of in my tracks, when something is getting the better of my heart or of my mind, and just offering a word of praise to God. You can recite maybe one line from a praise song you heard this morning that's really touching your heart, and declaring that out loud, or reciting it in your mind, or a word from a psalm. But praise is such a, and celebrating God's goodness is such a powerful asset, this weapon, if you will, that we have in our arsenal in combating anxiety and fear in our lives by holding things in scale, a proportion to what they are in light of God's goodness and love, his grace and his mercy. So that's first, the C in calm. The next is ask for God's help. You know, occasionally in my own life, I will share what's troubling me with people in my life, my wife or my friends or my extended family. And I have to ask myself, have I prayed about this yet? Prayer is always our first line of defense. So simply when you are experiencing anxiety and fear, offer that to God. You know, there's one thing that I've been thinking about quite a bit lately, many of you have as well, and that's the upcoming election in November. Sometimes I grow uneasy and anxious when I think about that, the process leading up to it. And I have to ask myself, have you prayed about this? Do you pray for your president? Do you pray for your leaders? Do you pray truly for Christian witness in America? And that brings me a sense of calm. And there may be areas in your life that you need to give to God that bother you, but you haven't truly handed over to God. And honestly, pastorally, that's some of the best pastoral advice I've ever given people is give it to God, give it to God, give it to God. And we need those gentle reminders to do that. L is with thanksgiving, leaving your requests to God. Important reminder there from the apostle of gratitude. There are studies that show that you cannot experience gratitude and stress simultaneously. So stop in the middle of your day, of your worry and your anxiety. Think of just one thing that you are emotionally drawn to that you are grateful for. Just meditate just on that one thing. It doesn't need to be a list of 3 or 5 or 10 things. One thing in your life you can name that you're grateful for. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your child. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your church. It could be a number of things. Stop as you present your prayers to God. Have a grateful posture. You might remember in November we had testimonies from our church. There were some 25 of you who gave testimonies about gratitude. If you haven't listened to those testimonies, there's some powerful stuff in those testimonies. They're all online you can listen to on our YouTube channel about gratitude and the effects. So important to present things with gratitude. And then finally, meditate on good things. Sometimes we need to think about what we're thinking about. We can very naturally just gravitate toward negativity in our lives. We need to practice a little bit of mindfulness. I don't have to give so much attention to these negative things that are in my thoughts. I can pause and I can change the channel and be tuned to something more positive. I read an article a week ago in a newspaper called The Press Democrat. And I read The Press Democrat. It's published in Sonoma County. It's my favorite newspaper. I read it every morning. It's wonderful. And this op-ed piece had a title that really just caught my attention. The title was this: A Terrible Year, But Maybe Humanity's Best. Right. That was my reaction too. I kind of gasped for air. What? Right? And the person who wrote this piece talked about the obvious things, right? Division, two major wars going on in our country, things like the climate for those who are concerned about it. But then he went on to say this. He said, sure, those things are real, but according to the United Nations, global child mortality is at an all-time low, with just 3.6% of newborns dying by the age of five. Lowest figure in human history. Extreme poverty has reached a record low, affecting a bit more than 8% of humans worldwide, according to the United Nations projections. Two horrifying diseases are close to eradication, polio and Guinea worm disease. Only 12 cases of wild poliovirus were reported worldwide in 2023. And all this is to say is sometimes you just have to change the channel, right? The channel, I don't mean TV, although some of us may need to look at that. but the channel in your mind, the frequency you're tuned into, right? We can all sit around like a bunch of cynics and talk about the next election or the climate or whatever, right? Pick your issue. But you can also change the channel and have a different frequency. Some of us have got to think about what we're thinking about. Studies show that people who tend to view the world more optimistically are more productive in solving the world's ills, right? No, it's important. It's more constructive. Meditate, the apostle says, on good things. Change the channel if you have to, if you need to, lest we become like Charlie Brown, right? Fear of everything. And speaking of Charlie Brown, I want to bring our attention once more to Charlie Brown Christmas. There's this really touching scene, if you remember it. I actually spoke about it 2 years ago at a Christmas Eve service. It's when they're doing the pageant, and Linus is up on the platform, and he's giving his lines, and he's reading from Luke chapter 2. And as he starts reading, he, for the only time throughout Charlie Brown Christmas, drops his blanket. And it's these words. He says, "Fear not, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. Right? Good word for us there. That's the only time that he drops his blanket, this thing bringing him comfort. And arguably, that's because he's discovered this greater joy. He's discovered something else he can grab a hold of. Christ, his Savior. And what I want to do with that image is encourage us to pop open the hood and maybe look at the engine a little bit. Sometimes we have to look at deep underneath what's going on. You know, sometimes we can find security or have a proverbial blanket that's something else that's applying to our lives, something else that's bringing us comfort that we need to look at. That's temporal. You know, a proverbial blanket, something that brings us comfort other than God, can be something like this: money, power, image, success, or something else. There's this great catechism in the Christian church, and the question is, what is your greatest comfort in life and death? And the answer, that in life and death, that I belong in body and soul, not to myself, but to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate thing that is intended, friends, to bring comfort to our lives. There are these other things that are temporary: money, image, success, power, status, right? When we hear Christ's name proclaimed, can we drop that proverbial blanket and ultimately cling to him? But in so doing, as we think about that in our own lives, as we think about overcoming fear in our lives, what does it look like for us to overcome fear in this world, to quell anxiety in this world? What can our posture look like there? And in so doing, I want to ask you a question. Do you imagine Jesus, and as busy as he was with all the responsibilities he had, walking around like a headless chicken and anxious all the time? I don't. You probably don't either. I think Jesus had a full itinerary, some long, frustrating, even concerning days as he was ministering to the disciples and had all these different needs that he was constantly meeting. But I don't believe Jesus walked around as an anxious presence, quite the contrary. Dallas Willard, the great philosopher and USC professor and Christian author, was once asked this question: what is one word you would use to describe what Jesus was like? And he didn't say loving or compassionate or just or kind or aware. He said relaxed. I would describe Jesus as relaxed. And I was caught off guard by that answer, but it was helpful for me to think about it. Jesus ought to be relaxed. Jesus was clear on his purpose. His life was about giving glory to God. He was clear on that. He had a laser focus on that. Jesus also lived a besotted life with the kingdom of God with life. It's peace and it's joy and it's righteousness, this triumvirate we spoke about in our series last summer on the fruit of the Spirit. Joy and peace and righteousness, right? And Jesus himself, of course, was the kingdom of God. Jesus was relaxed. Jesus was a calm person. And my question to you is, how has God entrusted people into your life that you can bring calm and peace to? How is it that you can lead this world to be less anxious, less fearful? Maybe it's just simple things, our everyday and our ordinary, just at the grocery store. Every once in a while when I see the cashier, or maybe I'm at Tres Hombres and being served by my server and notice maybe a little bit of anxiety. How's your day going? I'm fine. Well, how's your day really going? You're doing a great job. Appreciate what you're doing. Thanks for all your hard work. Maybe it's around your cubicle. Maybe there are some people in your own immediate work environment that are there, that are anxious, that are fearful, that you can encourage. Maybe it's your own home environment. Maybe there's more anxiety than you want in your household. You can bring some peace and some still and some calm to it. Maybe it's somewhere else, but we all have our own areas of influence where we can bring peace and calm and reduce anxiety, and it can lead to a less fearful world today. Well, I want to close this morning with an illustration, and this is something that I read 3 weeks ago in the New York Times Metropolitan section. Metropolitan section is an area where everyday New Yorkers can write to the Times and just share their experience of just life in everyday New York. And this story particularly moved me. It's by a young woman named Isabel Walcott. I was headed downtown on the 2 train when a college girl sitting nearby began to sob. I moved over to sit on her right side as the woman sitting to her left began to comfort her. The girl said she was overwhelmed with anxiety and on the way to her therapist. A man sitting across from her offered her an unopened cold soda, which she accepted. There were on the train 4 of us together, 1 of us in crisis. The situation seemed so precarious that I skipped my stop to stay by the young woman's side. Her distress was palpable. I, the woman on the left, and the man offered her encouraging words in low tones. It seemed to help. She began to breathe normally and to calm down. We reached Wall Street, the last stop in Manhattan. I didn't have time to go to Brooklyn and get back to my destination in time. Preparing to get off the train, I asked the young woman if she was going to be okay. As I did, the woman on her left said she needed to get off too. The man sitting across from us said he felt bad because he also needed to get off. We all asked the young woman if she was going to be okay. She nodded but sniffled. The 3 of us stood hesitating as the doors opened. Suddenly, a woman swooped in from somewhere down the car and sat down on the seat I was vacating. I got her, the woman said, smiling. I got her. I love that. I got her. Who have you got right now? What situation have you got? Who are people in your life that need some encouragement and your loving presence to come alongside of them? Are there environments you are in where you can bring some more peace, some more grace, and some more calm? Because friends, we are called not only to receive calm in our lives for our own benefit from Christ, to receive this peace, as the apostle described, this peace that surpasses all understanding that guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, it's not only for our own benefit. But friends, we also exist for the sake of the world. And at Christmas, Christ came to bring us peace, a peace that this world cannot give, but a great comfort in life and death, because we do not belong to ourselves, but to our merciful Savior, Jesus Christ. Greg mentioned earlier, there are 366 commands against fear in the Bible. Fear not statements. So one more than we need for every day of the year. Maybe that was just Christ's little reminder that there's some leftovers. It's a reminder to us that, friends, that we can be a non-anxious presence in this world, that we can embody this statement of fear not to the world that is around us. And so what does it look like for you and for me to experience calm, not just for our sake, but friends, for the sake of others? Would you join me in prayer? God, it's easier said than done, because there are some things in our hearts that trouble us today. They may be deeply personal in nature. It could be financial. It could be vocational. It could be relational. There are a number of things, oh God. And so I pray for each person here that a spirit of peace would permeate their hearts right now in this moment and as we approach this table to receive the sacrament. And God, I pray for our faithful witness in the world, because what we don't need is more anxiety. What we need, oh God, is calm. And so this week, help us, Lord, to have a ministry of being a non-anxious presence, and even more than that, to bring this peace that surpasses all understanding to this world. We ask this now in the name of Christ Jesus, who is perfect peace. Amen.
And as the scripture says, have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. I want to welcome you to this table. Probably the best news of this moment is it's Christ's table, the Lord's table. It's not Henry's table or Greg's table or Ray's table or our fabulous elders and deacons. It's ultimately Christ who is present at this table. It's Christ who said, "Fear not, for I've overcome this world." It is Christ who said, "I am with you to the end of the age." So as I invite you to come forward to this table, I want to make sure that you know that Christ's arms are open wide for you. Now, if you don't feel at this moment like you want to come forward, that's also fine. You are welcomed, but you're also welcomed to hear the good news that Christ is present in this room. Would you join your hearts with me in prayer? Our God, we take a moment of silence to experience again the truth that I am with you, Jesus says, until the end of the age. We thank you, God, that you have come in Jesus Christ for us. You who created this world, who created juice and wine and bread and grain, you who created all things, have given us this meal to be mindful that you are present with us as a community, that you are mindful that you are present in one another and in these elements. By your Holy Spirit, Lord, make yourself known to us, we pray. There are many who desire a deeper connection with you. Bring that, Jesus. And may these elements become, by your power, and may this body become, by your power, the body of Christ in an even more palpable way, that we may go away from this time and this meal changed and confident and not fearing, because you are with us until the end of the age. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to the glory of God our Father. Amen.